preacher, pray for him, that God will give him liberty and he can enjoy himself tonight in the service the Lord use him. And I hope you'll come out and be with us tonight in that evening service.
If you're not ready, it'll be too late.
Right, Sister Marvin.
Just pray for me and listen to his song. Bibles to Matthew chapter 3 this morning. Matthew chapter 3, we're going to read about 9 verses there.
And we're going to read verse 7. We're going to read it together this morning. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through verse 9. We hope you had a good Sunday school class. And we hope that that you are able to come to Sunday school. We hope you will come to Sunday school as we started these fall months of studying the Word of God. We hope things are good with you this morning, and we hope that God's given you grace. And we think we got this thing figured out, but the farther we go, sometimes we get a little bit more confused. I'm like one fella, he said he had a good handle on life till he got 60 and then it broke. So that's the kind of way I am, amen. But I know the one true thing in all of it is the Lord.
Amen.
Matthew 3 this morning, verse 1. The Bible said in those days came John the Baptist preaching. I like
amen.
That.
Amen.
He didn't come speaking or teaching. He come preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent. I like his message.
Amen, brother.
He said, repent you, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. The same John had a raiment of camel's hair, a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out all to him, Jerusalem and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Read verse 7 together. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham as our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Thank you.
Right.
May be seated.
Amen.
Our Father, we come this morning, and Lord, bring Lord ourselves, present it to you, Lord, and pray that you might take it and use it, Lord, for the glory of God. Lord, we thank you for these scriptures that we've read. We thank you for this, these thoughts that you put upon our mind these last few weeks. And we pray that God would use them today to help us that are saved to be better Christians. Help those that are not saved that they might have that desire to be a Christian. And the Holy Spirit of God might confront them today and show them the need, Lord, of being saved. What a privilege I have, Lord, to have this many to preach to this morning. And yet what an awesome responsibility it is. And Lord, we realize that we're not dealing with men's hearts or kidneys or body parts or brains or any of that, Lord. We're dealing today with men's souls. And Lord, we realize that the souls will live somewhere throughout all eternity. And how important it is and what a responsibility it is. Lord, help me to be gripped by that responsibility this morning.
Yes.
Help me to do the best I can, not for this church, though I want to, but for Jesus Christ. And I pray you'll use me today and prepare. I pray my heart's already been prepared. And I pray you prepare me to bring this message. And I pray you prepared each one that's come in and found a seat that you prepared them to receive their portion out of what God has today. And we'll be careful to thank you and praise you and ask you to forgive us of our sins and failures and shortcomings. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
I started last week preaching a thought that God had put on my heart about the thing we hear so much of, that you might be. There are several different kinds of these. And last week I read some of in our state, in Kentucky and Tennessee, they always say you might be a redneck. But today, I'm using something today, and it applies to me this morning, and I didn't write this. I know whoever who did must have been a preacher. And this is, it says, you might be a preacher if. You might be a preacher if. I know whoever who wrote this had to be a preacher. Because I know if I'm going with this, I am a preacher. And it says, you might be a preacher if you wondered why people couldn't die at a more appropriate time. It said you might be a preacher if people sleep while you're talking. You might be a preacher if you feel guilty when you go fishing. I know this one. You might be a preacher if you jiggle all the commode handles at the church before you leave. You might be a preacher if you waded in a creek wearing a necktie. You might be a preacher if you have ever walked up to the counter at Dairy Queen and ordered a church split. I've come close to that. You might be a preacher if you ever wanted to fire the church and form a congregation search committee. Said you might be a preacher if you've ever been asked and ever been told to get a real job. You might be a preacher if you've been asked what's so hard about preaching. You might be a preacher if you wear new shoes to church and someone comments, we're paying you too much money. You might be a preacher if you've ever been asked to pray for soap opera characters. You might be a preacher if you've ever been asked to pray for a poodle. You might be a preacher if everything you say has three P's, a joke, a quote, and an illustration. You might be a preacher if you suffer from PMS, pre-message syndrome. You might be a preacher if you secretly wanted the worship team to drench you with Gatorade after a particularly good sermon. You might be a preacher if you'd rather talk to people with every head bowed and every eye closed. So I know that I am a preacher this morning because I think I have experienced about all of those. But this morning, I don't want to preach about a preacher. You might be a preacher. But I want to preach this morning about some folks that we find here in verse 7. This is our first meeting in the New Testament with this group known as the Pharisees. They were the chief persecutors of Jesus Christ. And the object of his unsparing denunciation. And if there was any group in the life of Christ that ever caused him problems, it was these folks called the Pharisees. Amen. There were two groups of them. There was what we call the Pharisees, and then there was what we call the Sadducees. We remember them because the difference between the group was that the Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection. And so we say they're sad, you see. But we realize that these two groups were always following the Lord. They were a constant thorn in the side of the Lord. Now, let me say that these people were unsaved. They were unsaved, these Pharisees were, because they didn't believe in the Lord. They didn't believe who He said He was. And they were unsaved. Well, let me say this morning. You don't have to be unsaved to be a Pharisee. And I'm going to preach this morning about you might be a Pharisee if. I think this morning that most of us will realize and recognize that at some time in our life, maybe today, that we have some characteristics of these people that the Bible calls Pharisees. There were some very, very important ones that you may recall their name. Nicodemus. The man that came to see Jesus at night. Simon, Gamaliel, and Saul of Tarsus, who himself declares that he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. They were strict, very strict. They were seemingly self-denying, and they were very, very self-righteous. When we look at them, Jesus warned his disciples, he said, don't be like them. Don't become one of them. He said, do what they say, but he said, don't do like they do. He said, these Pharisees that accept your righteousness is greater than theirs, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus, he constantly was met with these people that we call, or he called, the Pharisees. Now, I want us to look this morning in three places this morning. And I want us to look at three places where Jesus confronted these people that were called Pharisees. And we might be surprised this morning to find out that we might be a Pharisee. I preached last week on you might be a hypocrite. And I said I might be one, but I sure don't want to be one.
Amen.
Same thing about Pharisees.
the Lord, I tell you, he had some scathing, hard sayings for these Pharisees.
Right.
Matthew 23 is one of the hardest sermons Jesus ever preached, and it's directed at these people that are called the Pharisees. Well, I want us to look at some places in the Bible this morning. If God will help us, I want you to look in Matthew 15, and we're going to be reading in verse 1 of Matthew 15. And the Bible said, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees." There it is. "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, 'Why do the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread.' But he answered and said unto them, 'Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father and mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mayest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, and he shall be free. And thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You hypocrite, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men."
Yeah.
Now, one thing we see here this morning is we see that these Pharisees were very, very big on tradition.
Yeah, right.
They majored in tradition.
Right.
You know, the tradition is all right if it's biblical tradition. But if it's just man-made tradition, it's not worth much. It might be all right, might not be nothing wrong with it. That is, unless you put tradition in front of the Word of God.
Amen.
And we realize this morning that these Pharisees, that they were very, very big on tradition. And they had noticed they had traditions of washing their hands.
Right.
Now, it's not as you think about just washing your hands, but the Pharisees were very big on washing. They had many rules concerning washing. Brother Eddie, it wasn't just washing your hands, but it was washing your hands a certain way. It was washing your hands at a certain time. Here they are, and they come there to where Jesus' disciples are, and they're getting ready to have a meal, and they notice that Jesus' disciples, they committed a no-no. They did something very bad. You say, what'd they do? They started to eat their food before they washed their hands. You see, these Pharisees, as we look at this, they were watching these disciples. They were looking at them to see if they were going to wash their hands like they commanded everybody to do, like they wanted everybody to do. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you ever been in a McDonald's or a Wendy's or maybe down at Orion's, you're sitting there and you see a couple come in from church or maybe some folks that you knew, out the corner of your eye, with your head kind of down, looking at your plate, you're watching out of the corner of your eye to see if they're going to bless their food, to see if they're going to bless their food like you bless your food. I think people ought to bless their food. I'm like a little boy that stayed all night with a family, and his family was used to always praying over the food. But that night they went to the table, and as they got there to the table, Brother Jack, the little boy, hesitated to eat. And the boy was staying with his mother and said, "Is something wrong?" He said, "Well, I was waiting for y'all to pray." And she said, "We don't pray around here over our food. Can you understand that?" He said, "Oh, yes, ma'am. You're like Rover, my dog. He don't pray over his food either." Well, I think you ought to pray over your food, amen. But I don't think you ought to be a Pharisee about it. You pray over your food. But I don't think you ought to, ought to watch people make sure they're praying over their food. I seen a thing one time. Or that this fella, you know, I guess he meant well, but they went every month and they'd buy all the groceries for a month. He bought about $200 worth of groceries. They packed them all in, set them all on the table, He asked the family to bow his head. He said, God, he said, bless all this food. He said, well, that takes care of that. He just done it one time. But I think that you ought to thank the Lord for your daily bread. I really do. But I think that's between me and God. Amen. I think I'd be a little bit pharisaical, and I have been guilty of it, and you've been guilty of it. I'm looking and seeing if someone else was blessing their food. That's between them and God. Amen. Every person will give account of themselves to God. So these Pharisees, you see what they were really concerned about. They was more concerned about dirty hands. That bothered them more than their own dirty hearts. Amen. I tell you, we can have dirty hands and have a clean heart. We can have a dirty heart and have clean hands, but I'll tell you, we can also have clean hands and have a dirty heart, amen. You see, these Pharisees, they had what we might call, Brother Eddie, a detective spirit. They were in charge of watching everybody else to make sure that everybody else, Brother Paul, did not what God thought they ought to do, but if everybody else did what they thought they ought to do, amen. They were always going around watching other people. I tell you, if we come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, and instead of listening to the preaching, instead of trying to get something to help our own heart, we're looking around to see what somebody's got on. We're looking around to see who's with who. I tell you, we might be a Pharisee, amen. I sure don't want to be a Pharisee. But they were bad. They were bad about watching. Look here, if you will, over in Mark 2. Look over in Mark 2. Mark 2, verse 23. It came to pass when he went through the cornfield on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? They were there not to gather corn. Now, they were there not to hear what Jesus had to say. They were there to watch Jesus and his disciples. Look down in chapter 3. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. Amen. I tell you, God help us. God help you. God help me. That we might not have a detective spirit about us. That we might not watch our brothers and sisters in the Lord to make sure that they're going to do everything we think they ought to do. No, it's not what we think they ought to do, but it's what God thinks they ought to do. Amen. Amen. I see not only their detective spirit, but I see their deceptive hearts. Look, if you will, verse 3 and 7. And he answered them and said, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift. But whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition? Now here's what the Lord's saying. The Lord's saying, Moses said, they like the law. So the Lord said, Moses said, honor your father, honor your mother. That's what Moses taught. That's carried over into our New Testament. Amen. But you see, these Pharisees, the Lord knew their heart. And he knew that these Pharisees, they had set up this thing where if they had some money, they had some land, they had something there, rather than to spend it on their mother or father, they could declare that a gift or Corbin. They could say, this is going to be set aside for a year for the temple. And therefore, they didn't have to give it to their mother. They didn't have to give it to their father. It was a deceptive thing. They tried to make it look like it was good. They were given to the synagogue. They were given to the church of their day, if you will. But in essence, what they were really doing was they were just thinking about themselves. They were breaking the commandment that Moses said of honor your father and your mother. Amen. So you see there, they had deceptive hearts. Then let me say this. We see their dirty hearts. Look at verse 9. In Mark, look at verse 9. What the Bible says there in verse 9. The scripture says, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for the doctrines and commandments of man." Look at verse 8. "This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." You see, these Pharisees, they had it all right on the outside. They knew how to say all the right things. They knew all the right cliches. But the Lord said, He said, your heart's dirty. He said, you're only worshiping me with your lips. You're only saying, Lord, I love you with my lips. And you're only serving me with your lips. But He said, your heart is far, far from me. Amen. I tell you, listen, it's better to feel it in your heart and not say it than to say it and not feel it in your heart. Amen. That's what these Pharisees were. The Bible said they offered lip service, but no heart service. You might be a Pharisee this morning if dirty hands bother you more than our own dirty hearts. Amen.
Amen.
We often look at others. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's like the man, been a long time since I've been down to a stock pen or stock market. I know Cheryl and Greg go there a lot, and probably some of you others that deal with cattle and farming. But it's been a long time since I've been down there. But I read about this preacher, and his children wanted to go down there and just see what it was like. And so he took them down there. And of course, they're not the best smelling places ever was. They went down there, and the kids were loving it, watching all the different livestock come through, and the kids were loving it. But the smell was getting to him, Nathan. And he told his kids, he said, "I can't take this. We need to get out of here. I can't take it no longer." And they begged to stay, and they stayed a little longer. And finally, they got in the car and started home. And much to his amazement, he still smelled that same smell as they started home in their car. Brother Eddie, they got into the house, and he still smelled that same smell. And on a closer observation, what he had on his own shoes was what he's smelling. You say, "What's that mean, Brother Rick?" Sometimes the stink we smell is not others, it's your own self. Amen.
Amen.
It's your own self.
Yeah. Amen, Brother Rick.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Eddie. Seems like I'm going to pay for him amens this morning.
Amen. All right, brother. Howdy.
Amen. You might be a Pharisee.
Right.
Look over Luke 18. Look at verse 9. This parable Jesus taught. And he said in verse 9, "And he spake this parable unto certain that trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee," there he is, "the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even of this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted." In this parable that Jesus taught about a Pharisee, Jesus reveals to us the very heart of a Pharisee, Brother Nathan. And I want to tell you, The Pharisee always sees themselves better than others. Amen. I'll tell you, if there's any determining mark of a Pharisee, it's that they look at other human beings, other people, and somehow they think they're better than them. They have more education than them. They have more money than them. They have better clothes than them. They have a better job than them. They're smarter than them. They have more money than them. They dress better. They look better. They smell better than them. I want to tell you, one of the marks of a Pharisee this morning is when you look at yourself and look at somebody else and you see yourself better than that other person. I want to say what I've said over and over and over and over and over again for the last 15 or 20 years. There ain't nobody at Bethel Church any better than anybody else. You may have a better position. You may have more money. You may have a nice car. You may be educated in many ways. But honey, we're all just a bunch of sinners and lost and dying and going to hell. And some of us may have had opportunities others didn't have. But when it comes to that, none of us are any better than anybody else.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. You ever looked at somebody and somehow or another your wicked heart,
bless him, Lord,
or my wicked heart somehow or another makes you feel like you're a little better than somebody else.
Oh, me,
you might be a Pharisee.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus didn't do that.
Amen. Amen.
Can I tell you, Jesus was not a respecter of person.
Amen.
He helped those that had nothing. He helped those that were lepers. He helped all kinds of people. Amen.
Amen.
And the one thing about the Pharisees, Jesus detested more than anything else, it was the fact that they thought themselves better than others. Amen. I tell you, the more we get God in our life, the closer we get to the cross, the closer we get to what we are seeing God. I tell you, we don't feel better than others.
Amen.
We feel worse than others. Amen.
Amen.
I tell you, the more the spotlight of heaven gets on our souls and shows us our own failure, we don't feel like we're better than others. We feel like we're the least of the least.
Amen.
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 Glory to God.
One of the greatest preachers in the New Testament. He said, I'm the least of all the apostles, yet he wrote more books than any of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
He done more missionary journeys than any of them.
Amen, Brother Rick.
He had more revelations than any of them.
Amen.
You say, what made him feel like that? Oh, he's about halfway where it needs to be with God.
Amen.
These Pharisees were self-centered four times. In that little parable, you'll find the word I.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their main focus is them. Their main focus is I.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Brother Eddie, they're self-centered.
Amen.
Right.
They're like the young girl, like some of you young girls.
Bless you, Lord.
You got your boyfriend, you're dating a boyfriend, but for some reason or another, maybe you broke up. That's what happened to this little girl. Her name was Maria, and she was dating this boy, and they dated about 2 years, and then they broke up.
Bless him.
And after about 3 years, one day he got a letter from her. And it said, Dear Tommy, I've recently been thinking about you a lot. You've been on my mind a whole lot here lately. And I just wanted you to know I really miss you, and I'd like to see you again. I wish somehow or another we could reconnect. And oh, by the way, congratulations on winning the lottery. That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
They were self-centered. They're like the lady praying, and she had never been married. She had always been a kind of an old maid, and she's praying, and she said, Oh God, I wouldn't ask anything for myself, but please, Lord, give my mother a son-in-law.
Yeah.
You see, she's praying for herself.
Right.
And the Pharisee is always self-centered.
Right.
It's like these.
Right.
Amen.
Amen,
yeah.
Brother Rick.
Of course, it goes without saying they're self-righteous.
Amen.
Look what he said in verse 12. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Amen.
Yeah.
In other words, again, he said, I fast twice a week. He said, I give tithes of everything that comes into my house. I pay tithes of all that I possess. But I want to tell you, if you're fasting, I'm fasting just so we can tell everybody about it on Sunday.
Right.
If we're paying tithes just so we can let others know what we give and what we've done, we might be a Pharisee.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir. Self-righteousness, that was their problem.
Yeah.
Look at what Paul said over in Philippians 3. And the Bible said, he said in verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh.
Yeah.
If any other man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I'm more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, and as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. You know what the Pharisee's problem was? He's self-righteous.
Amen.
Right.
You know why he didn't get saved? He don't think he's bad enough to get saved.
Right.
That's why Jesus told him, I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance. Not that they were righteous, but he was saying, you think you're righteous. I didn't come to call you to repentance. I come to call sinners to repentance.
Amen.
Amen.
People realize how bad they are. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Look at what he said. He said, I thank thee. He said that I'm able to do all these things. Amen.
Yeah.
Self-centered.
Yeah.
Self-righteous. But self-exalted. Look at verse 11. Again, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, or adulterers, or even as this publican. In other words, he has exalted himself above others.
Right.
He has looked at others, and he said he might say what some people say, well, they've been married two times, or they've been married three times. They're adulterers, but they don't ever see themselves.
Amen.
You see, the Bible says if you look at a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart. They're willing to crucify the one that's had a bad marriage or something happened. But they never think about how many times during the course of a day they glance at some short-dressed woman.
Yep.
They look at some muscular-built man. I'm telling you, listen, the Bible said they thought themselves better than others.
Good preaching, Brother Rick.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you.
Amen.
Yeah. When we get to self-exalting ourselves,
amen,
we're in bad trouble.
That's right.
Amen.
He said, I'm not an extortioner. Not an extortioner. They crucify somebody that may have been guilty of that sin, but somehow or another they never see the fact that they sold somebody a car. They sold somebody something and they made out like it's the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Ain't that just preaching?
Yeah.
You're preaching, brother.
Amen.
Talking about you might be a Pharisee.
Yeah. Right.
You wouldn't go in the bank with a gun, rob it. You wouldn't rob a minute mark. You wouldn't do that. But how many times have people robbed other people, beat them out of something, lied to them about something?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
Bless
you,
Lord.
Yeah.
Extortions.
Yeah.
Unjust. Or even as this publican.
Right. Oh, man.
Oh, God help us.
Yeah.
When somebody walks into this church, and I literally say walk in, they don't have a Cadillac to drive. They don't have an SUV. Maybe they ride that bus.
Right.
I don't know if we got a few here this morning. Sometimes we just somehow or another, we come up with this title, and we call them bus kids. Tell you something, bus kids ain't no different than your kids.
Amen.
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 God loves him much as loves anybody else.
Amen.
This is important as anybody else's kids. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to know this morning, listen, we sometimes look at people that don't have what we have and we categorize them, we classify them.
Right.
Somehow we're a little better than they are.
Right. Amen, brother.
Right.
Amen. Right. God help.
We might be a Pharisee.
Yeah.
Amen.
It would be.
Truth be known, we some of us have been bothered more by dirty hands than we have dirty hearts.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
We've been bothered about some little thing somebody did that disrupted our tradition.
Right.
We're more worried about that than we was the condition of our heart.
Amen.
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 Yes, sir. You see, the Pharisees, they were detectives. They were always watching everybody else. And Brother Jesus, he didn't have much good to say about it.
Right.
We're talking about unsaved people. Unsaved people may come through that door looking anyway.
Right.
They may come in looking with some of the modern trends of our day that are offensive to some of us. They may come in and say things that none of us would say in church. But we must remember, that we sinners, like they were sinners, we got saved by the grace of God.
Yes.
It's only by the grace of God we're not what we used to be, thank God. But let's give them time before we inspect them. Amen. Before we classify ourselves as better than them. Let's look at them. Let's give them time to get saved and let God work on them. Let God clean them up.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Self-exalting.
Yes.
Look at Luke 15. There's something else these Pharisees like to do. I'm not going to go there. But over in John 9, when that blind man got his eyes open.
Yeah.
You remember who run into him?
Yeah.
The Pharisees. You remember what they did?
Yeah.
They questioned his.
Mm-hmm.
They questioned, amen.
Yeah.
All right.
You know what Pharisees do? They question everybody else's salvation.
Amen.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, we hit a good nerve, didn't we?
Yeah.
They're the inspector to tell who else is saved and who else is not saved. Let me tell you something, buddy. I pray for the lost. Let me tell you something, sister. I pray for the lost. Get out tracks. Do all you can to win them to God. But I'll tell you, you let God be the inspector. You let God decide whether saved or not. Amen. You say, well, they didn't do it like me. That was the Pharisees' problem.
Right. Amen, brother.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
And that ain't even in my notes. I just threw that in.
Good, bro. Thank you, Lord.
Look in Luke 15. Look at verse 1 and 2. And then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees, there they are. And the scribes, they murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners, and he eateth with them. Now, you know the rest of the parable there. There's three things there: lost sheep, lost coin, and then a lost son.
Yeah.
I want us to look at verse 25. If you have a Schofield Bible, look over the heading there. What's it say?
The
Pharisee. The Pharisee. And it said, now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh unto the house, and he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He said unto him, thy brother's come, thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry. He would not go in, therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed thou at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. And he is lost and he is found. The whole purpose of Jesus telling that parable, was to flush out these Pharisees.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
Was to point out these Pharisees. You see, a prodigal had returned home and there was shouting. There was happiness. Somebody that got out into fire country.
Right.
Somebody left the father's house. Somebody got back out into sin. They had come back. They had walked through the doors of the father's house. And there was much celebration. There was much shouting. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Amen.
But you see, you might be a Pharisee if you'd rather pout than shout.
Amen.
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 Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
You say, what do you mean? The Pharisees, they weren't much on shout.
Right.
Right.
Look over to Luke 19. And let me rephrase that. They wasn't much in shouting about what God's doing for others.
Right. Amen, brother.
Right.
They wasn't much in shouting for Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'd shout for their own things.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with shouting for the Wildcats. As long as you got to shout for Jesus.
Amen.
If you're saved. Amen.
Yeah.
Look what happened here in Luke 19, verse 32. Well, let's go to verse 33. And as they were loosening the colt, the owner thereof said unto them, "Why loose ye the colt?" And they said, "The Lord hath need of him." And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when it was come nigh, even now, to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest."
Amen.
And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." In other words, stop this nonsense. Tell them to be quiet. Tell them to stop this shouting. And he answered and said unto them, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." Amen.
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 Amen. You see, if you've got a concern for others, now today if somebody were to come to the altar and get saved, maybe there'd be two or three people just get beside themselves.
Yeah.
And they would begin to praise the Lord and shout, and everybody else do nothing.
Yeah.
The reason would be because maybe that's that mother's boy, that father's son. Maybe it's somebody's friend, and they've been praying for them. They've been concerned about them. They have something invested in that.
Bless
right.
They're concerned.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right. And others are not concerned. You see, that was the Pharisees' problem. They had a lack of concern.
Right.
The father said, "Your brother." It's his own brother. It's his own brother.
Yeah.
Bless him, Lord.
You know, people that went away from the Lord, got back out in the world and saved, you know, they're your brother.
Amen.
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 That's
right.
And they're your sister. They're in your family.
Right.
Amen. Amen. You and I might be a little bit pharisaical. We might be a Pharisee.
Yeah.
If we're not concerned about them coming back to God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You see, the Pharisee didn't care for the lost.
Right.
They didn't care for the lost. Just a question, no hands, no answer. Have you said any prayers this week for the lost this morning?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a question, no hands, no answers. Have you witnessed anybody or gave somebody a gospel tract? Were you around anybody that was lost this week and maybe God nudged you and said, "Just give them a tract, just invite them to church, just do something"?
Amen.
You see, sometimes we're all religious. We got everything right, all the outside, all the cliches, all the clothing, all the things we do. We got all that right. But more important than all of that,
bless him, Lord,
is those weightier matters of the law, mercy, judgment.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Notice his language in verse 30. "Ye have devoured thy living with hire." Was a language of criticism. Criticism. The Pharisees were critics. The Pharisees were hypercritics. They always criticized everything that anybody done. Whether if it wasn't like them, if they didn't do it, they always had criticism.
Amen.
Right.
Hey man, I'd like you to come up and show me that paper where you got elected judge.
Yeah. Amen. Right.
That's our problem in this country right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Judge not.
Yeah. Amen. We got people that want to judge the law instead of enforce the law.
Amen.
That's our problem right now. We got folks trying to interpret what's already been said.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
That's the problem this morning.
Yeah.
Lack of criticism.
Right.
Hey, look at this. Look at what his father said. these many years, he said, these many years do I serve thee. That's what he told his father. All these years I've been serving. I've been coming to this church for 30 years.
Yeah.
I've been coming to this church 20 years. I haven't missed a Wednesday night or Sunday school. Thank God for that. That's good. Amen.
Amen.
That's great. But you see, we ain't supposed to keep up with all that just so we can brag about it.
Amen, brother.
Right.
Isn't that funny how he recollected that? He said, these many years. He'd been thinking about it every time he went to serve.
Amen.
Yeah.
Just thinking about the privilege he had to serve.
Yeah.
He's just counting up because he wants to be better than somebody else.
Right.
Amen. You still with me?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, I'm talking about we might be a Pharisee if we'd rather pout instead of shout.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If shouting bothers you, when somebody gets blessed, when somebody gets happy, when God does something for somebody, if that bothers you,
bless you, Lord.
Yeah.
Come on. You may be a Pharisee.
Yeah. Amen. Come on.
Amen.
That's true.
Amen, brother.
Come on.
Amen.
And you are a Pharisee.
Amen.
If you can shout when something good happens to you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right.
But you can't shout when something good happens to somebody else.
Right.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
You see, those Pharisees, their problem was what our problem is sometimes. They always jumped to the conclusion before they got all the facts.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
You don't know why somebody looks like they do.
Right.
That's right.
You don't know why somebody maybe don't put no money in the offering plate. Maybe they got no money.
Right.
Well, Raymond King was preaching to a bunch of Indians up in Canada one time.
Bless him, Lord.
He said he looked over at the little board there and it said offering it last Sunday $3. So Raymond said, I'll preach on tithing. He just kind of didn't know what to preach. And he said, I'll preach on tithing. He said for an hour he preached on tithing. Burning up one side and down the other. And said when he got done, said the old preacher come up to him, shook his hand. He said, Brother Raymond, he said, these people do tithe. But he said, 10% of nothing ain't much. Amen. It ain't much. But I'm telling you, listen, I'm saying sometimes we just need to get all the facts.
Amen. Yeah,
amen.
Right.
Amen.
Bless you, Brother Rick.
Right.
Those preachers are probably the worst. The preacher was preaching a big meeting. Brother Eddie.
Bless him, Lord.
An older man, his wife, come in and shook hands with him and said, we're so glad to be able to be in this meeting this week. They sat right there on the front row. The preacher began to preach the first night. And the gentleman nodded off and fell asleep. Didn't bother him too bad. He said, well, probably just had a rough night last night or something. The next night, they come in and sat on the front row. Said he come in and sit on the front row. The preacher preached 5 minutes into the sermon. The man nodded off again. Said it started to irritate him a little bit. He said, a preacher like me. And the guy come sit on the front row. Go to sleep while I'm preaching. Next night, the guy come in. Sit on the front row, Paul. 5 minutes into the sermon, he nodded off, fell asleep. Preacher's really getting agitated. He said, a man like me, preach many meetings I do, go where I do. And the guy sitting on the front row can't even stay awake. Thursday night, the guy come in. Him and his wife, he sat down. Eddie sat on the front.
Bless him, Lord.
He began to preach. 5 minutes into the sermon, the gentleman fell off asleep again. Man, he's very agitated. He's even contemplating saying something to the guy when the Friday night service is over. And on Friday night, they come in, they sit down there, Paul, sitting on that front row, 5 minutes into the sermon, that man fell off asleep again.
Yeah.
He's so mad he can't hardly preach. He gets done preaching. He's got it in his mind when they come out the door, he's going to tell him about it. They come out the door, and the man's wife is in front of the man. And she said, brother, said, I just got to tell you how much it's meant to us to get to come to these meetings.
Bless him, Lord.
Said, my husband was given 2 weeks to live. And he said, if I could live 2 weeks, he said, I want to come and I want to hear that preacher preach. If I could just have 2 weeks to live, I want to go to that meeting.
Yeah.
Bless him, Lord.
Hey.
She said,
bless
enjoying what he can hear. He's on medication. He can't stay awake, but he wanted to come every. Yeah. That's why Jesus said, judge nothing. Judge nothing before the time. You don't know. I don't know.
Bless you, brother.
But I know one thing, Brother Eddie, Nathan. I know one thing, Brother Jerry. Yes, sir. I know one thing, Brother Jack.
Bless him, Lord.
I know one thing, Josh. I know one thing this morning, Brother Paul. I know one thing, Brother Steve. I know I don't want to be a Pharisee.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
Right. More like Christ.
Because Jesus had more trouble with them than anybody.
That's right.
They hindered him more than anybody.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's right, Brother Rick. That's right.
Lord, I thank you this morning. I don't have to ask you to forgive me for being a Pharisee. I've done that. Lord, you know we're in these human bodies and we have these Adamic natures. And Lord, we unfortunately, Lord, we fall toward the side of pride more than we do humility. But God, by the Holy Spirit who lives within the Spirit of Christ, He controls our lives and help us today. God, I pray to be more like Christ. Help us to not be a Pharisee, Lord, in spirit. God, I pray this morning, those Pharisees, they were lost. They were lost. But most of the people I've preached to this morning are saved, just like I am. And sometimes we, unknowingly to us, because we can't see from the Lord's eyes looking at us, we don't see how Pharisaical we can become. The Pharisees drove people away from God. We don't want to drive people away. We want to bring them to the Lord.
Yeah.
God, I ask you this morning that each one of us might examine our hearts and we might, Lord, be willing to humble ourselves like that old sinner that just couldn't even look up. He just knelt down and beat his chest. Said, God, be merciful to me. And the Bible said he went home justified. Lord, help those who are not saved to get saved. And I really, really pray that, Lord, this message, God will use it to help us to have the right spirit about us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand if you would. I invite you to come to the altar and pray if you need to this morning about anything. About anything today, you come and pray as we saw.
124.
Saved, you need to be saved, you need to speak to your heart. Maybe you're a bit like those Pharisees. You see, they thought they lived so good and they were so right. They didn't need to be saved. The truth is that all of sin comes short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's not a just man in all the earth, in the whole world, that does good and sins not. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. I'd ask you today to come if you're not saved. I ask you to come in humility and kneel before the Lord. Confess yourself the sinner you are. And confess Him the Savior He is. God do something for you today. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed today. See, anyone that lift their hands, say, pray for me today, Pastor. Please pray for me, anyone today. God bless that hand and God sees it.
Thank you.
Anyone else? God bless that hand and God sees it. Someone else today. Need to lift a hand. God bless that hand and God sees it. Amen. Somebody else today. Somebody else. If you raised your hand and you're in need of salvation, I urge you to step out and come to the altar to kneel and ask the Lord to come into your heart today and save you. God wants people saved. He died so that sinners could be saved. Bible said now's the time. This is the accepted hour. That's what you need. You come today. If you raised your hand for other reasons, God sees that. And you ask the Lord. We're going to ask the Lord to help you. And God will help you this morning. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning. Those that raised their hand, thank you for those that Word of God and the Holy Spirit moved them to come to the altar to pray about something in their life. Lord, you promised that if we ask that you'll give us, if we seek, we'll find. If we knock, the door will be open. God, I've seen some people seeking today, knocking. Lord, I've seen some people today asking, and I pray on the authority of the Word of God that they get what they need, Lord, today. Lord, if anybody's lost today that raised their hand, I pray for they'll get saved before it's going to be too late someday. One day their heart's going to beat the last time. Their lungs are going to fill up with air the one time, last time, and exhale. And I pray before that happens, they'd come and they'd get down, they'd believe the gospel. And ask the Lord to save them today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you today for coming. I trust the Lord has helped you this morning. In the services today. I know he helped me in preparation of it. I hope he helped you. All right, any word today on anyone's heart today before we dismiss? Word on anyone's heart, Brother Eddie.
I'd like to thank the Lord for saving my soul. I'd like to thank you for being here today. I certainly needed that message. Never really thought about it, but I'm quite a Pharisee at home. I'm kind of a Pharisee myself.
Bless your heart.
Been praying for a good job. He finally got one. He didn't make my approval. I saw quite a bit of it in the message. I appreciate the message. Thank God for the Word of God.
Amen. Praise God. The Bible says in itself it's a mirror.
Oh, yeah.
We can look and see ourselves in it.
Yeah.
Trouble is, a lot of people see themselves in it, but then it does what he says don't do. He said don't just go your way, because in a little while you forget what you've seen. Do something about it right then. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Brother Eddie. Appreciate that honest confession. Yes.
I just want to thank the Lord for blessing me with my family.
Amen.
I'm so blessed.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Yes. I thank the Lord for hearing answered prayers. And of course, some of these five grandkids has all been together.
God bless
you. Since I were just babies in Bible school.
Wonderful. Amen. Wonderful. All right. Anybody else today? All right, don't forget we got guest preacher tonight, and we never heard him, so I trust you pray for him to come out and help him tonight by praying for him and being here to hear him tonight. Amen. All right, turn around and shake somebody's hand, and you're free to go to a place.